help us in our understanding and our response to the challenge of spreading the good news of Jesus. Luke 10, verse 1 to 16. In Luke 9, we have Jesus sending out 12. Now, says this, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you, listens to me. He who rejects you, rejects me. But he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. But a lovely bright picture, because we're talking about spreading the good news. Spreading the good news, of course, if it's good news, it's good. And that's what we have to share. But sometimes it seems to me we don't always accept it as good, as a very positive thing for us to share. And instead we kind of hide it away or embarrassed about what we have. What does it mean for us to spread the good news? Well, we have to begin, of course, with Jesus and the good news of Jesus. You may remember last week we read from Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. That he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. This is Jesus' good news. It seems to be that this is what Jesus was working to and living to. This was his understanding of who he was. And it seems to me any disciple of Jesus, anyone who follows Jesus, as the followers go out to spread the good news of Jesus, what do they say? What do they do? Well, surely what they say and do is what the Master himself said and did. And if Jesus was working to this agenda, if this is what his good news was, then the disciples would take note of this and seek to share this when they're commanded by Jesus. Go out and announce, the kingdom of God is near. Last week, very, very quickly, preached the good news to the poor. I think this is literal good news to the poor. It's about a change in their circumstance, a fundamental shift in society, narrowing the gap between rich and poor, freedom for the prisoners, justice for those who have been locked away, recovery of sight for the blind, physical healing. We see that so many times in Luke's gospel, not just physical healing for the blind, but physical healing in all sorts of ways, release the oppressed, a transformation of circumstances, whether it is emotional or political, I think this is what Jesus was aiming for. This is what he was working to. And then the fifth element there, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favour. This is about cancelling debts. This is about return of property and land to families. This is about complete transformation of our perspective, our worldview on life, how we live it, how we relate to one another, how we relate to other nations. And I've often said in the past, I don't know if I've often said it, but I've certainly said it in the past. You know, we get on the census forms, or even when you get a hospital and so on, you have to fill out a form, nationality. What do you put down? Normally British or whatever. Whatever your nationality is. And of course I put British, that's where I was born. But who is my master? Is it the Queen? Is it the Prime Minister? No. It's Jesus. And so I have this strange kind of relationship with me being British. Because yes, I am, because that's where I was born. But there is a higher authority who says, you belong to me now. In Christ there is neither British nor French, German or Spanish, Korean or American. We are all one in Christ. So, you know, relationship, this is about proclaiming the year of the Lord's favour. It's when we stop saying, we're British, we're French, we're Spanish, we're American, we're Iraqi, we're Iranian. We're all one in Christ. And that's a deep political challenge. What we have here in this passage that we've read just a few moments ago is the sending out by Jesus to preach the good news about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. We read that in Luke chapter 9 when Jesus sends out the 12. We see it again when he sends out the 72. Not the 22, the 72 that he sends out. It is to proclaim, to announce, the kingdom of God is near to you. They are to be heralds going through the streets announcing the kingdom of God is close to you. The challenge, the encouragement, there is a new king. Your opportunity, your invitation is to accept the king's way of life. This new king, for us, that does mean a shift away from I'm British, I'm French, whatever it is. A shift away from I'm a northerner, I'm a southerner. A shift away from this is how I should live because this is where I was brought up. So an understanding how would Jesus have me live. And that's what we herald to people. There's a new way of living, of relating, because there is a new king who is here. We are heralds of God's kingdom. Now, four highlights I'm going to bring up. Spreading the good news, it's relational. It involves dependence, it involves experience, and it involves an invitation. And I'll try and be really, really quick. Relational, it involves dependence, experience, and an invitation. Relational. Spreading the good news is relational. What do I mean? We spread the good news together. What does it say? Verse 1 of chapter 10. The Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two. It didn't take you out alone. Of course, there were occasions when the disciples would be alone. And we read of that in the Acts of the Apostles. Philip, for example, he seems to be very much by himself as he communicates the good news of the kingdom of God. But here, Jesus sends that two by two. Perhaps sometimes we need to remind ourselves that this is a relational task. We relate to one another. And we help and support one another. We are in this together. It is relational. But it's also, not only is it relational in the going out, but it's also relational in terms of meeting with others. What does Jesus say? When you go into a town, enter a house. Stay there until you leave that town. Now, if you're there to announce the coming of the kingdom of God, and it's pretty difficult not to have a relationship with the people whose house you've gone into. That's expected. You will eat with them. You will sleep in the same house. You will be with them. You'll experience life together. Spreading the good news is relational as we go. We support one another. But it's relational in the actual spreading. We're to develop relationships with people of trust. We're to, create the opportunity, be given the opportunity to share this good news, because we have a relationship with people. And of course, if you go down to London, for example, there's always somebody. I see it sometimes in Worcester and Cheltenham, but certainly in London, Piccadilly Circus, you have somebody standing there preaching the gospel. I remember somebody in my church in London, an American, who used to do that. And I happened across his CV one day. And part of his CV in the last, however many years it was, I estimate I have preached the gospel to 6 million people. I thought, wow, Billy Graham would be impressed. What he had done was just stand there and say it. Seems to me that what Jesus asks us to do is to go in a relational way. We go together, supporting one another, but also we seek quite deliberately to develop relationships with those we go to. And we earn the right to speak. So the first is relational. The second is dependence. Dependence. It's about dependence. When Jesus tells them to go, in chapter 9, he says this. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Absolutely nothing. Don't take anything with you. In chapter 10, verse 3, go. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals. It's as if he's stripping them bare. Saying, on this task, you must learn, first of all, the basics are you depend upon God. Must learn the basics first. Remember, I've said before about an old member, used to be in the church, John Ingram, who was a carpenter. And I remember him telling me the stories of when he started work as an apprentice carpenter. And he went so full of expectation on his first day at work. And all he got to do was sweep up the sawdust and the cuttings. He went the second day. What did he get to do the second day? Sweep up the sawdust and the cuttings. And it went on day after day after day. Eventually, one of the carpenters he was working for let him hold one of his tools. And it was a slow process. What was happening? He was learning the basics. And it took forever. But he learned the basics, so he knew how to saw in a straight line, dovetail joints. But it took years to learn how to do it properly. Jesus says, when you go, go with nothing. Learn the basics. Dependence upon God. God is the one who converts people. Depend on him. But as before, as we're relational, we go together. Relational to one another. We go developing relationships. Dependence on God here, but also we deliberately have this humble dependence before others. So that when we go into their home, stay in that house, eating and drinking, whatever they give you. Remember hearing the story of one of the action teams, not one of our action teams, young people who came to us, but another action team that went to Italy. And what would you eat if you go to Italy? You stayed with an Italian family. What would you be offered? Pizza and pasta. Not one member of that action team liked pizza or pasta. And the whole team ended up going to eat in McDonald's. Spreading the good news. Jesus says, when you go, stay in the house, eating and drinking whatever they give you. Why? Because you go hungry. You go hungry. You don't like it? Well, you eat it. Because you're hungry. So there is dependence. It's relational. As we go, spreading. Dependence from God, we have nothing but God. But then we make created humble dependence upon others that we go to. Thirdly is experience. This word experience. Jesus in chapter 9, verse 6. Go preaching the gospel, announcing the good news, and healing people. And again, when he sends out the 72 in chapter 10, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. In chapter 9, it's proclaim first and then heal. In chapter 10, it's heal first and then proclaim. But in both cases, there is experience. People do not just hear. There is a new king. The kingdom of God is near. It's not just about hearing it, it's about experiencing it as well. But if we're to communicate, if we're to spread the good news concerning Jesus, it must be experienced by people. It must be experienced. So if we were to just reflect for a second on Jesus' good news to the poor. The poor need to experience the good news. The poor need to experience the good news. That means us not necessarily deciding what the good news is for them. Perhaps humbly listening to the poor. What do they need? Freedom for the prisoners. What do those who are in prison need? That they might experience as well as hear. What would it mean? Sight for the blind. It might be that you've laid hands on blind people and they haven't gained their sight yet. So it might be that Torch Trust for the Blind is the next best thing. Think, well, I'll help you. I'll do what I can because I want you to experience the love and the kindness of the kingdom. Experience is important. Releasing the oppressed. What does that mean for us? So it's relational. It's dependent. It's about dependence. It's about experience. People must feel it, touch it, experience it. Whatever it is. Love, kindness, mercy, generosity, forgiveness. Somehow they must experience it as well as hear it. Fourthly, it's about invitation. If you have your Bible, turn to Luke 24. Leap all the way to the end. Luke 24, page 1062, verse 45. This is where Jesus has been raised from the dead. He appears to his disciples. So right at the end of Luke 24, verse 45. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Repentance and forgiveness will be preached. Again, this proclamation to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And we have here the invitation to turn and begin living in the kingdom of God. And my only reflection here is that in all the gospel sermons I've heard, in all of the evangelistic messages I've experienced, how many times it's felt so difficult to respond. The bar has been set so high in terms of what is expected. Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name. There's a new king. Don't just hear about it or hear about him, the king, but experience it. Repentance. Turn your life around. Begin living his way. But what about the stuff I've done wrong? I am ashamed of the stuff I've done wrong. It's forgiven. No questions, no hoops to jump through. You are forgiven. Nothing to pay. It's all been done and dealt with. You are free. Come on, just do it now. It's free. Prodigal son returning home, the father runs and makes it so easy for those who want to turn. So repentance and forgiveness is the invitation. Come on, it's not a big thing. It's not difficult. You can turn. You know how good it is. And this is all I've got time for, to share with you about spreading the good news. We are called to be heralds of God's kingdom, announcing the coming of the kingdom of God, accepting the king's way of life ourselves. And then these four things. It is to be relational in two ways. Relational for us and as we speak and share. It is to have an attitude of dependence on God, humble dependence on others. It is about experience. We experience God and we want others to experience God. And then there is the invitation. You've experienced God. Now repent. Just turn your life around. Begin following. It's all paid for. It's all free. Just enter in and begin to live it and experience it and spread it. Just let's pause. Let's pray. May the blessing of God rest upon us, strengthening and encourage us as those who are called by Jesus to spread the good news.